Football's back, and welcome back to another episode of Fantasy End Zone. I'm your host, Jake. Today we'll be recapping all the games on week one, followed by injuries that occurred and how long they might be out for. And finally, we'll be looking at targets on the waiver wire. Let's get into it. Was your defending champs, back-to-back champs, Kansas City Chiefs versus Baltimore Ravens on Thursday night. Chiefs took this one 27-20. It came down to literally a toe. And this game had a bunch of highlights and everything you wanted to get the season started and kicked off. For the Ravens, Lamar Jackson had 273 yards passing, one touchdown. He also had 122 yards rushing. He didn't have a fumble loss. Their next leading rusher is Derrick Henry with 46, and he had the first touchdown of the football season. Their leading receivers is Isaiah Likely, which to me blew me out of my mind. Where is Mark Andrews? You know, he must be on the back of a carton of milk, as in labeled missing. Isaiah Likely caught 9 passes, 111 yards, one touchdown, and literally had the next touchdown by one inch of his toe. Rashad Bateman, 2 catches, 53 yards. Zay Flowers, 6 catches, 37 yards. And Mark Andrews, dud, was 2 catches, 14 yards. For the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes went for 292, one touchdown, one interception. Isaiah Pacheco had 15 rushes for 45 yards and one touchdown. The receiving, Rashid Rice, and I've been saying it, he's going to be really good this year. He's going to get a bulk load of targets in this Kansas City offense. And with most likely not facing any suspension, he's going to be probably a top 10 receiver this year. And he had 7 catches, 103 yards, no touchdowns. As Xavier Worthy, the rookie from Texas, 2 catches, 47 yards, one touchdown. He also had 1 rush, 21 yards for a touchdown. Travis Kelce, he put bare minimum numbers, but I guess they didn't need him in this game. 3 catches, 34 yards. Isaiah Pacheco also added 2 catches, 33 yards. So in this game, the big issue for me was Mark Andrews was gone. And even Travis Kelce, you know, you're so used to seeing Travis Kelce get 7, 8, 9 targets, and especially in the red zone, he's being used and everything else. But they still kept it on the ground with Isaiah Pacheco, and the little feet man can still keep on pushing and running. But yeah, both of these tight ends were drafted very high in most leagues. Mark Andrews with literally 2 catches, 14 yards, compared to his backup tight end, 9 catches, 111 yards, and a touchdown. It looks like Isaiah Likely might be the target now to get possibly this waiver wire. No one's seen this coming, that Likely was going to possibly dethrone Mark Andrews for target shares, even though during the game, if I went back and rewatched it, Andrews was open on a lot of occasions. Lamar was also scrambling for his life. He had 16 rushes. So maybe if he has pocket protection with the rebuilt offense line, maybe he would have more, you know, time to find and see Mark Andrews finally getting out of his break and being open. But this is another situation where to monitor, and I would target Isaiah Likely possibly for the waiver wire. Travis Kelce, I mean, I'm not threatened by Noah Gray or any of the other tight ends in Kansas City, but he is getting older. This team is not playing, you know, it's playing for a win now, right now, but it's also got the longevity of the playoffs, the Super Bowl, you know, that's what their ultimate goal is. Why use Travis Kelce when we could use these other receivers, or, you know, just keep running the ball and not overuse him. He is 34. He says he's got two more good years in him. But at the end of the thing is, you know, they're playing for the longevity. So you got to also be characteristic of how long the season is, how much that body takes, how much beating it takes. I mean, that's all I can say for the tight ends. Rashee Rice was just a monster in the receiving game. Always open, coming across the middle, and can't say much more about that. Zay Flowers, 6 catches, 37 yards. Yeah, he had 6 catches, but if you watch most of that game, it literally was line of scrimmage catches and not much downfield where we thought he might have successive deep ball downfield passes. So that's one thing to monitor as well. The next game was Friday in Brazil, where the Packers took on Eagles. Eagles won 34-29, and if you ask me, that Brazil field was complete hot garbage. Everyone's slipping, sliding. The field is made for soccer players, as J.J. Watt even said. This field is made for soccer players to run, glide, and, you know, fast speed. Not for these 300-pound linemen pushing, shoving, tackling each other. I mean, if you watch that whole game, you've seen probably a slip on every single play. And a lot of the times it was the quarterbacks running, or, you know, they can't get footing. You can't throw the ball that well. But, or even the running backs cutting and everything else. But Jordan Love, 260 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. And he did get hurt during that game. And we'll talk more about this later. But thank God is the best case scenario for the type of injury that we looked at and seen. It looked like he might be missing a whole lot longer time. Like I said, we'll cover that later. Josh Jacobs, 16 rushes, 84 yards. He didn't get much carries in the first half. He only had 6 carries in the first half. But he's one of those guys you got to keep feeding, keep feeding, keep pounding. The more of the time or more of the game goes on, the tired the defense is, the better off he is. He just keeps pounding. And then one of the top receivers of all week, Jaden Reed. 4 catches, 138 yards, 1 touchdown. He also had 1 touchdown rushing for 33 yards. This guy was unbelievable. Wide open on a 70-yard touchdown catch. He has the speed. He's still very good. Romeo Doubs, there's question if he was going to even play. But he had 4 catches, 50 yards. Jacobs had 2 catches, 20 yards. Christian Watson had 3 catches, 13 yards, and a touchdown. Those were the bigger name players. Their tight ends, Musgrave didn't have a single thing. He was just a dud, just 2 targets. Tucker Kraft had 2 catches, 37 yards. Those guys, I wouldn't even be holding on my team right now in most leagues. Talking about the Eagles, Jalen Hurts, 278 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. He had a fumble loss as well with 33 rushing yards. And newly acquired Saquon Barkley, 109 yards, 2 touchdowns. He also added 2 catches, 23 yards, and a receiving touchdown. This is how you come into a new team with a bang, and especially going to your rival team. I mean, who's seen him coming in and scoring 3 straight three touchdowns for the Eagles? I certainly didn't. I thought maybe 1, maybe 2 at the very, very most. But, you know, if you're betting on it, that is great. A.J. Brown, 5 catches, 119 yards, and a touchdown. You know, once again, if you're watching this game, Jair Alexander had, for the most part, I would say, held him down, but if you watch a lot of those game or watch a lot of it, he kept slipping and sliding. But Brown had that 67-yard play and finished it off with an end zone touchdown. Devontae Smith, Seven catches, 84 yards. He was a target machine, eight targets. He just kept on getting open underneath, and, you know, he does what he does. He catches it and just dives forward. Dallas Goedert, four catches, 31 yards. That's the big name players for the Eagles. We'll start with the next game, which started on Sunday. The first game we'll talk about is, why not talk about the number one overall draft pick, Caleb Williams and the Chicago Bears taking on Tennessee Titans. 24-17, the Bears won. They got to write some kind of script on this one. How do you go up 17-0 for the Titans and literally just hand the game to the Bears, who had a total offense of under 150 yards? He didn't even have 100 yards passing. We'll talk about the Titans. Will Levis, just a game he hopes to forget and just hopefully move on. 127 yards, one touchdown, two interceptions, and a fumble loss. He had 36 yards rushing, but if he can't protect the ball, he might not be a starter by the end of the season with Mason Rudolph waiting in the loom. Tony Pollard, 16 rushes, 82 yards, one touchdown. This is his backfield. He is the main rusher on this team, with Tajay Spears only getting four rushes, 21 yards. Looks like Spears is going to have another Derrick Henry behind Derrick Henry workload. You know, take a little bit from the passing game. He had more targets in the passing game than Tony Pollard, but Tony Pollard still got the ball a lot more. This is his backfield, and I don't see him giving it up with that kind of production. Calvin Ridley had three catches, 50 yards. Tyler Boyd, three catches, 18. Chig Okonkwo, two catches, 15 yards. Then, like I said, we got Pollard and Spears. Pollard had three catches, 12 yards. Spears, four catches, 11 yards. And then DeAndre Hopkins, I hope you guys didn't play him. I would have suggested highly for you guys to bench him, especially coming off that knee injury. He had one catch, 8 yards. Hopefully you guys benched him and moved on, because this whole game was terrible for passing in general, or even offense in general. Caleb Williams, he did get the W. 93 yards passing, 15 yards rushing. No touchdowns whatsoever. And if you guys listened to earlier podcast episodes, I'm well on my way to eating those crayons. I said that Caleb Williams is going to have 4,000 yards passing and 30-plus total touchdowns. Continuing with this team, DeAndre Swift, 10 carries for 3 yards. He looked terrible. I mean, especially with one of the carries being 20 yards itself. So basically 9 rushes for 10 yards is terrible. DJ Moore had 8 targets, but only 5 catches, 36 yards. He did get injured during the game. Same with Keenan Allen, got injured during the game, 4 catches, 29 yards. And Rome Odunze is getting checked for an MRI. He had 1 catch, 11 yards. Cole Kmet is only another main focus, is 1 catch, 4 yards. DeAndre Swift did not have any catches. This was more, hopefully you guys had the Bears defense. If you guys do those kind of leagues, they did have a couple of touchdowns or block field goal or punt for a touchdown, interception for a touchdown, and that's literally how they got all their points, was their defense. You know, all the 24 points that they scored, 2 of them came from offense, and that was literally because of a 2-point conversion. The other 22 points was defense and special teams. The next game we'll cover is the Pittsburgh Steelers versus Atlanta Falcons. Pittsburgh Steelers won 18-10. With no Russell Wilson that game, he was sitting out with an injury with his calf. Justin Fields was the starter, and, well, he still can't pass. 156 yards, but he can still run. He's got 57 yards rushing with 14 rush attempts. You know, going with this whole offense, Arthur Smith is a run-first guy, and he kind of showed it with Najee Harris, 20 rushes for 70 yards, and Justin Fields, 14 rushes, 57 yards. You know, this is Najee Harris's backfield, and I think maybe this is a proof of, you know, Najee Harris, okay, 20 carries, 70 yards. Jaylen Warren, I mean, he is coming back off an injury, so maybe they're still weaning him in. But I believe this is Najee Harris's backfield, and, you know, I believe Warren's going to take the receptions away, but he is going to be your bell cow rush attempts. The receiving is six catches. George Pickens, six catches, 85 yards. Pat Freiermuth, four catches, 27 yards. And like I said, Jaylen Warren, two catches, 13. After that, it kind of, you know, nothing. Najee had one catch, 9 yards. Not much to say about this game, but it was a lot of field goals. Six field goals by Boswell. And if you have a kicker and you're doing, I mean, you had Chris Boswell, you did pretty well in this game. He was 6 for 6 with a long of 57, but the offense had zero touchdowns whatsoever. Looking at the Falcons, Kirk Cousins, 155 yards, one touchdown, two bad interceptions. He struggled. He looked uncomfortable in the pocket. It didn't help that, you know, Bijan only had 68 yards rushing. He didn't get much, but this is his backfield as well, with Tyler Allgeier only getting 3 carries. If you look at the passing game, we all thought, you know, Drake London, well, you got caught with your pants down. You know, 2 catches, 15 yards. And this goes back that Kirk Cousins did not look comfortable in the pocket. Maybe he's still feeling a little linger or whatever the issue is with the Achilles. We don't know. Hopefully it gets better for him. I know the pass rush was really good with, you know, TJ Watt. You can never defend him, and it was not great. Ray-Ray McCloud led the team, 4 catches, 52 yards. Bijan Robinson, 5 catches, 43 yards. Kyle Pitts, hey, he's the one that got the biggest upgrade, you know. 3 catches, 26 yards, and a touchdown. And then you had Darnell Mooney for 1 catch, 15 yards. They didn't do much of anything besides the Kyle Pitts touchdown. You know, it's – I thought this team would kind of blow the – or not blow the Steelers out, but I thought they'd play a lot better. It was more a defense game. And once again, you add these together, and that's 301 yards total passing by both teams. Not the greatest to see, but it's been more of a defensive production this whole week 1. The next game we'll talk about is an exciting one towards the whole game. Arizona Cardinals versus Buffalo Bills. With Arizona coming out hard and punching Bills in the mouth, unfortunately, the Bills won 34-28. We'll talk about Arizona Cardinals. You know, Kyler Murray, 162 yards passing, 1 touchdown. But the upside, you know, rushing quarterbacks lead teams to fantasy championships. You know, you could have a pocket passer, like we'll say Rodgers, great, great quarterback overall. If he doesn't get those touchdowns or doesn't get the yards, he's not going to score a lot of fantasy points. But you look at the rushing quarterbacks, Lamar, Kyler, Josh Allen in this game, you know, they keep on putting that 50-some yards, 40 yards, and they're going to keep dominating the league. Kyler had 57 yards rushing. And James Conner, this is his backfield again. I know I said I would not be surprised by Trey Benson taking over. And I said that based on their team record with Connor's contract. I do believe it ends after this year. Why, toward the end of the season, why not see what you have in Trey Benson? That's where I was getting at. By the end of the season, he probably might be the starter. But as of right now, James Connor's backfield, 50 yards, one touchdown. Benson only had 13 yards rushing. And for the receiving, Greg Dortch. He's just a target machine with Kyler in the, you know, in as quarterback. He's one of Kyler's favorite targets. Six catches, 47 yards. James Conner also had three catches, 33 yards. Trey McBride, five catches, 30 yards. And Michael Wilson, one catch, 5 yards, one touchdown. I forgot. The highly, you know, Mr. the best receiving prospect out there, one catch, 4 yards, as that was Marvin Harrison Jr. I don't know if he was just open or Kyler just was under pressure and he's just taken off, but it was not a great NFL debut. His first game coming out, I did not like it, but, you know, I don't have him in any of my leagues. I bypassed him in the second round for other guys I felt like was going to be more targeted. Yeah, he struggled, and yeah. The Buffalo Bills, Josh Allen, first possession of the game, I thought it was going to be a struggle, and he fumbled and lost it. But he came back strong, having 232 yards passing, two touchdowns. And then, like I said, the rushing upside, you know, 39 yards and two touchdowns. That's 15.9 points in a normal league. Whereas his rushing would have been, 19 total points for passing. But now you add those together, hey, now you got 30 points right there. He had 9 carries, 39 yards, and 2 touchdowns. James Conner, 71 yards rushing. This is his backfield, and he just kept on getting a bulk load of touches in this game. He had also 3 catches, 32 yards. Whereas, you know, These receiving targets is going to fluctuate, I feel like, week to week. Keenan Coleman, 4 catches, 51 yards. Shakir had 3 catches, 42 yards, 1 touchdown. Mac Hollins, 2 catches, 25 yards, 1 touchdown. You had Knox, you had MVS. And Dalton Kincaid, 1 catch, 11 yards. You know, this is, again, it drafting a high profile tight end early, that hurt you. You know, with him, we already talked about Mark Andrews, we talked about Travis Kelce. These drafting very high tight ends, I mean, it's a high risk and high reward, but those three did not perform. I mean, you got Trey McBride that had 5 catches, 30 yards. He had the targets of 9 targets in the game, but unfortunately, he only came with 8 points, basically, in PPR league. Next game is one of the most, I'd say, upset, with New England beating Cincinnati Bengals 16-10. Boys, is Bengals look struggling offense. We'll talk about the Patriots first, though. Jacoby Brissett did get the start with 121 yards passing, 32 yards rushing. He struggled for the most part, but you know what? They just kept handing the ball off to Ramondre Stevenson. 25 carries, 120 yards, 1 touchdown. I feel like this is what they're going to continue to do to open up that pass game overall. Ramondre looked really good, really fast, 120 yards, 1 touchdown. He also had 3 catches, only 6 yards, but that's 3.6 in PPR league, you know, that adds up. Their target leader, or their receiving leaders, Austin Hooper, 2 catches, 31 yards. Tyquan Thornton, 2 catches, 27 yards. KJ Osborne, 3 catches, 21 yards. DeMario Douglas, 2 catches, 12 yards. That just means get away from all the receiving that Patriots have. They don't have a pass catcher right now. And with Jacoby Brissett under the under center, I think they're going to still have struggles. I think once Drake May comes in and learns the system and, you know, learn from the veteran, I think he'll come over and be productive in the future. Joe Burrow, coming back from injury, he threw it 29 times, completed 21, you know, of his passes, only 164 yards and 4 rushes, 15 yards. This team really, really missed T. Higgins and, you know, probably having Ja'Marr Chase not practicing, always on the holdout with his contract was very frustrating. And, you know, I could definitely see it from the coach's aspect, you know, or even let's just look at last year, coming off of a Super Bowl appearance, and they literally last year started the season as, you know, Joe Burrow hurting his calf. He struggled the first half of the season, started doing really well, and then injury. This year, you don't have your pass catchers. Your, you know, T. Higgins was there all camp. Unfortunately, he got another injury. That's just how it's been for him. Ja'Marr Chase is just practicing only a couple days, and, I mean, he did okay, but you want to see those guys that we all took in the first round to be practicing, not, you know, getting in the drama or anything like that. Also in the rushing game, Zach Moss, it's his backfield over Ja'Marr or over Chase Brown, 9 rushes, 44 yards and a touchdown. Chase Brown, 11 running or yards. Like I said, Ja'Marr Chase, he did well. Six catches, 62 yards. We expected more from him, but, you know, he's probably on a pitch count, and, I mean, we only could take what we can see. Mike Gesicki, 3 catches, 18 yards. Zach Moss, 2 catches. Chase Brown, 3 catches, you know. Overall, this was a struggling team, and they proved it by losing against one of the worst teams projected in the Patriots. Hopefully Joe Burrow comes back from this. Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow need to be on the same page. They need to get in the lab and start working together again. We'll talk about the one of the most exciting games as well, the Houston Texans versus Indianapolis Colts. Houston Texans won 29-27. This was a great game as well. C.J. Stroud picked up right where he left off. He is very consistent, you know, 234 yards, 2 touchdowns, 13 yards rushing. I mean, when you have a great weapons to look at and pass to, it opens up the run game, and it sure did. 13 rushes for Joe Mixon, 159 yards, 1 touchdown. That's probably going to be the wide receiver, is the wide receiver, or is the running back one on the week. He's going to keep on running. He's not going to share time with Damian Pierce. He only even had 3 carries. I mean, he's not competing against anyone else. He had the 3 catches, 19 yards as well. He's a bell cow, whole bell cow type running back that you wanted on your team. I said last or a couple episodes ago that he was going to be a top 10 running back, and week one was a proof of it. Hopefully he keeps on getting it done and keeps on moving towards that. The receiving game, Nico Collins, he picked up right where he left off in the playoffs, 6 catches, 117 yards. He's still a massive big play guy, you know, having a 55-yard catch. You know, he's just going to still keep on getting his targets, I feel. He's going to get his yardage. He's a big play weapon guy down the field. Tank Dell, he's coming back from injury. 3 catches, 40 yards. He contributed to this team. Newly Texan, I guess you'd say, is Stephon Diggs. 6 catches, 33 yards, and 2 touchdowns. He looked pretty decent in the game, and, you know, having him come underneath and catching, getting those touchdowns, feels weird saying he got a touchdown for Texans over not a touchdown for the Buffalo Bills. Like I said, Joe Mixon, 3 catches, 19 yards. Dalton Schultz also had 3 catches, 13 yards. It's hard to play Dalton Schultz. If you have to stream, maybe. But with, you know, running the ball with Mixon, Nico Collins, Tank Dell, Stephon Diggs, that's your 4th, 5th option on your team. It'll be hard. Now for the Colts, Anthony Richardson, he has 212 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. And I already said it earlier in this podcast or on the show, running quarterbacks win you championships now. I mean, he was only 9 for 19 with 212 yards and 2 touchdowns and interception. 56 yards and a touchdown. Once again, that's 11.6 points just in the rushing aspect. And then you add on the passing. I mean, he didn't have the greatest completion percentage at all. But if you watch that game to Alec Pierce, that dude can literally sit on the – it looked like it was a 60-yard touchdown, I believe. And he's falling backwards, and he's on his back foot, and he just tosses it up and gets smacked. Perfect thrown ball. And I hope to see more of that coming from him. With the 56 yards, and that really helped bump his numbers. Jonathan Taylor struggled against the Texans' run defense. 48 yards, 1 touchdown, and receiving, he didn't even have a catch. Looking at the receiving in general for Colts, Alec Pierce, it used to be him just running down the field and doing track meets, but 3 catches, 125 yards. Ashton Doolin, 1 catch, 54 yards. Michael Pittman Jr., 4 catches, 31 yards. A.D. Mitchell is 1 catch, 2 yards. The tight ends, I would not be targeting in general. If you have them, get rid of them. They didn't have any points. This is, again, 2 sophomore quarterbacks competing against each other, division rivals. It was a game that you wanted to watch and see. It was one of the most, I guess, games I was hyped up to watch this past weekend. The next one is Jacksonville Jaguars versus Miami Dolphins. Dolphins took this one 20-17. Looking at Jacksonville, Trevor Lawrence, 162 yards, 1 touchdown. Not too bad. Still, you want those numbers up, but we'll take what we could get. Travis Etienne, I personally said that he was going to be a bell type running back. I mean, he's going to get 30 opportunities a game, 20 opportunities a game, 12 rushes, 44 yards, and 1 touchdown, but he did lose a fumble. But Tank Bigsby, where the heck did this guy come from, you know? Last year he looked like a dog on a leash because he had the fumbling issues. He had 12 rushes, 73 yards, and, you know, he played really well. He averaged 6.1 per carry. This game alone earned him more touches in the games. And earlier I said, you know, this might be a team to kind of, you know, scale back a little bit from using ETN a whole bunch early on in the season, especially if they think they're a playoff team, which they could be with the division that they're in. So maybe they're holding back until later on, you know, putting on a lot more wear and tear later on in the season. But, yeah, Tank Bigsby, he did well to earn himself a little cut in this, you know, piece of pie. Receiving, Gabe Davis, 3 catches, 62 yards. Brian Thomas Jr., he looked really explosive. 4 catches, 47 yards, 1 touchdown. I do believe he had a pass interference right at the end zone as well, which led to the Etienne touchdown. Christian Kirk, 1 catch, 30 yards. Travis Etienne had the 2 catches, 15. And Evan Engram, once again, tight end struggled this week. 1 catch, 5 yards. It is just a struggling passing weekend and tight end weekend. Miami, Tua Tagovailoa, 338 yards, 1 touchdown. He had 1 rush for 11 yards. The rushing was pretty bad for the Dolphins. Jeff Wilson actually led the Dolphins 5 rushes, 26 yards. Devon Achane, 10 rushes, 24 yards, 1 touchdown. Raheem Mostert, 6 rushes, 9 yards. It's going to still be Achane's back with, you know, a side of either Mostert or Wilson. I mean, it's going to be hard to say with him rushing 10 times, but he got 7 targets, 70, or he had 7 catches, 76 yards in the receiving game. So he still had 17, you know, touches and 100 yards and 1 touchdown overall. But receiving, Tyreek Hill, I mean, he had an interesting morning that day. He got arrested. If you didn't see, I'm sure you could find it on social media. He was detained and he was on the ground and everything like that right before the game. But Tyreek Hill had 7 catches, 130 yards, 1 touchdown. My guy, Jalen Waddle, I seen him go to the blue tent because of his head and neck injury, and I held my breath. And that's all he could do, but he came back. He had 5 catches, 109 yards, no touchdowns, but thank God he came back because I would have struggled in a lot of my leagues. Raheem Mostert, 2 catches, 11 yards. Jonnu Smith, I thought he would contribute more in this offense. 1 catch, 7 yards. Everything I've seen about Jonnu is that he was going to do like sweeps. He's going to kind of do the same thing as what he did in Atlanta last year, you know, take a little fullback dive or, you know, end around sweep and just take it for, you know, a few yards or a big red zone target, you know. But once again, this team is led by Tyreek Hill, Waddle, and Achane with Tua passing it. Those are your main guys. And Miami did get the win. We'll talk about Carolina Panthers and New Orleans Saints. Carolina, you're still in the bottom of the league. You only scored 10 points, but you did give up 47, so good job on that one. You struggled to make anything happen. Bryce Young, 13 for 30, 161 yards, 2 interceptions, and, you know, he left off where he did at the end of last season. I hope he can, hopefully he doesn't continue that, but hopefully he starts progressing. I mean, obviously you're going to have a learning curve from one coach to another coach. You know, we all seen that with, you know, Trevor Lawrence, his rookie year looked terrible with Urban Meyer as his head coach. And year two, he took that huge step with Doug Peterson now. But hopefully this was just a bad game plan and bad game. He did have a rushing touchdown and 12 yards. The backfield is currently split 50-50 with Miles Sanders and Chuba Hubbard. Sanders led it with 5 rushes, 22 yards. Hubbard had 6 rushes, 14 yards. With Bryce Young passing it right now, it's hard to get a lot of receptions and targets. And I mean, you might have a lot of targets, but are they catchable balls? Adam Thielen led the receiving again. 3 catches, 49 yards. Jonathan Mingo, 2 for 40. Xavier Leggett had 7 targets, Four catches, though, 35 yards. The guy that I thought would do well, Deontay Johnson, six targets, only caught two of them for 19 yards. If these aren't catchable balls, it's going to be a rough time for any pass-catching wide receiver for Carolina. It might be time to stay away, see how they do the next couple games, and go from there. New Orleans Saints, one of the best packet passers this weekend. Derek Carr, 200 yards, three touchdowns, and he was on the money. I mean, every throw he threw was really on the money, on the ballpoint. He was 19 for 23, so he only had four incompletions. He threw it long to Rashid Shaheed for a 59-yard touchdown to start out the season for him. But he threw the ball where he needed to, and his team made plays. Alvin Kamara, 83 yards rushing, one touchdown. Jamal Williams, now we don't have to wait until the end of the season for him to get his first touchdown, and he got it right away in the game one. 38 yards, one touchdown for him. Rashid Shaheed, three catches, 73 yards, one touchdown. Foster Monroe, give it up for him. I love seeing that. You know, last year he was diagnosed with cancer, and I think he took the whole season off and comes back with four catches, 43 yards, and a touchdown. It looks like this might be his tight end group. You know, you have Taysom Hill, you have Juwan Johnson, but Foster Monroe actually led them for receiving, and he looked really good actually out there. Alvin Kamara had five catches, 27 yards. And the big guy, you know, everyone drafted in the second round, or second or third, Chris Olave, two catches, 11 yards. He struggled. This team looked really good passing it, but then again, when you're up by so many, maybe you just didn't need him in this game, and you're saving him for the next game. I mean, you had almost 30 rush attempts with everyone in combined, but two catches, 11 yards, that's not what we like to see as our second round picks in leagues, but hopefully he comes back through next game. The next game in the early slate of Sunday is Minnesota Vikings versus New York Giants. Minnesota 28, New York Giants 6. Sam Darnold, 208 yards, two touchdowns, one interceptions. He looked pretty decent. He only had five total incompletions. The Giants did not do much of anything overall, so it probably was not a lot of throwing to Justin Jefferson or any of that. Aaron Jones took care of the ball for running backs, 94 yards, one touchdown. He looks really good as well. Ty Chandler had eight rushes, 17 yards. Not going to cut it, but he's came on at the end of the game to kind of close it out. So then Aaron Jones probably didn't get hurt. Receiving, Justin Jefferson, four catches, 59 yards, one touchdown. I mean, this is game one. They were up by a lot. Like I said, they probably didn't have to keep throwing it to him or force feed it, and they didn't really throw too much down the field considering 24 passes, only 209 yards. Jordan Addison re-aggravated that ankle again. He had three catches, 35 yards. And Aaron Jones, two catches, 15 yards. Ty Chandler, three catches, 25 yards. For their tight end, waiting for TJ Hockenson, their leading one was Josh Oliver, two catches, 27 yards. Daniel Jones, I expect him to be benched by halfway through the season. He looked hot garbage, 22 for 42, 186 yards, two interceptions. He only had 15 yards rushing, but he struggled. He struggled a lot in this game. And I don't know what to say for him. I could see Drew Lock coming back out on the field mid-season if Daniel Jones doesn't get his act together, because they still have that injury clause in his contract that he would be guaranteed $40 million, and I would not want to pay a guy $40 million next year to look like crap, you know, and he proved it right there. They came out and said he's still going to be our starting quarterback. We'll see what happens going forward. For rushing, Devin Singletary, 10 rushes, 37 yards. Receiving, Malik Nabers, 7 targets, caught 5 of them for 66 yards. One of the guys I'm going to recommend probably is for waivers is 12 targets, 6 catches, 44 yards, Wandell Robinson for New York Giants. If you could get 10 plus targets a game, you catch 50%, that's 5 catches. You know, that's hopefully these are catchable targets too. I mean, you gotta admit that, and saying that he had 20 incompletions himself, but 12 targets is huge coming back from all of his injuries. You know, his rookie year, he did show a little flash here and there, but hopefully he stays healthy is the main thing. But I mean, if you need somebody to come in and possibly stash on your bench, why not? Darius Slayton, 3 catches, 26 yards. Theo Johnson, 1 catch, 18. And Devin Singletary, 4 catches, 15 yards. That was the early slate for Sunday morning. So the afternoon games, we'll start with the Las Vegas Raiders versus LA Chargers, and Chargers won 22-10 in this game. Gardner Minshew, 257 yards passing, 1 touchdown, 1 fumble, 1 interception. He can't keep playing if he's going to turn over the ball, but 257 yards and 1 touchdown, it's good for compared to all the other passers this weekend. That might be one of the higher ones. But once again, 1 interception, 1 fumble loss. Rushing, Zamir White, 13 rushes, 44 yards. I thought he was going to have a lot better game. I thought also Joey Bosa was going to sit out, but with his broken thumb that he has, and he didn't. But he did split some time in the backfield. He's going to be more your rushing running back compared to Alexander Mattison. Mattison had 5 rushes, 19 yards, but he contributed in the passing game, having 6 targets, 4 catches, 43 yards, whereas Zamir White had 2 for 2 yards. But he did have a fumble loss, Zamir White, and Antonio Pierce does not like fumbling the ball at all, or, you know, he's old school smash mouth hit. And if he can't protect the ball, I feel it's going to be a rough ride for him this season. For receiving, Jacoby Myers, 3 catches, 61 yards. Davante Adams, 5 catches, 59 yards. One of my favorite players this weekend was Brock Bowers, 6 catches, 58 yards, only because I pass a lot on my tight end spot and drafted Brock Bowers. Considering that during his preseason he was lined up all over, I thought they were using him in different aspects of the game. And, you know, having 8 targets, 6 catches, and he went for 58 yards, he's one of the top tight ends on the week. Like I said, Madison had 4 catches, 43 yards. Trey Tucker, 2 catches, 22 yards. Going over to the Chargers with the win, Justin Herbert, 144 yards, 1 touchdown. And J.K. Dobbins, welcome back. Welcome back, man. God damn. Welcome back again. 10 rushes, 135 yards, one touchdown. I'm pretty sure he's the second leading rusher on the week for yards, but having 135 yards, one touchdown. Gus the Bus, I thought he was going to be the bell cow, but J.K. Dobbins looked explosive, looked good. He had 11 rushes, 26 yards. Ladd McConkey led the receiving with 5 catches, 39 yards, 1 touchdown. Quinn Johnson, 3 catches, 38 yards. Hayden Hurst, 2 catches, 33 yards. Joshua Palmer, I thought got injured during this game. 2 catches, 15 yards. He looks struggling. The only guy I'd be playing in any of my leagues would be Ladd McConkey. If you want to stash, maybe Quentin Johnson, QJ, whatever they call him. I wouldn't be opposed to it, but Ladd McConkey is the guy that you want to play. Next game is Denver Broncos versus Seattle Seahawks. Welcome to the NFL, Bo Nix, with a loss. Broncos 20, Seattle 26. Bo Nix, 42 passes. Oh, my God, I didn't see that. 42 passes attempts, only 138 yards and 2 interceptions. He had 5 rushes, 5 rushes, 35 yards and a touchdown. But 42 times you pass and you only got 138 yards. That just shows me you're only passing it, you know, 10 yards at most. The stats came up. I think it was like 0 for something over 10 plus yards. McLaughlin, 10 rushes, 27 yards, 1 fumble loss. Javonte Williams, 8 rushes, 23 yards. This just showed that this is a split backfield, 50-50. Maybe it is them trying to get something going on their offense because they looked so bad for a little bit. But Javonte and McLaughlin is now a 50-50 split back, it looks like, with Audric Estime having a couple carries in there. For receiving, Josh Reynolds, 5 catches, 45 yards. 8 catches, 39 yards. Cortland Sutton, 4 catches, 38 yards. Greg Dortch, 2 catches, 12 yards. The rest is just a couple catches here and there. McLaughlin, I guess, did have 5 catches, 1 yard. I don't know. That's pretty terrible as well. Overall, this offense looked bad, really bad. The defense looked really good because they got 2 safeties in the first half against the Seattle Seahawks. Geno Smith, though, 171, 1 touchdown, 1 interception, 30 yards rushing, and 1 touchdown. Once again, rushing quarterbacks is the way to go nowadays, I believe. K9, Ken Walker, 103 rushing and a touchdown. He did get injured. He did leave the game with a abdomen injury. So Zach Charbonnet finished the game, 8 rushes, 12 yards. If Walker's going to miss time, Zach Charbonnet is a must add, I believe. Receiving, Tyler Lockett keeps getting targets. 7 targets, 6 catches, 77 yards. With him playing the slot, I believe more because DK is an outside receiver and he is probably getting shadowed with Patrick Surtain. He just kept on getting more and more work, I guess. I thought he was going to fall over, but nope, he just kept going. DK Metcalf, 3 catches, 29 yards. Zach Charbonnet, 2 catches, 29 yards. JSN, 2 catches, 19 yards. That's all we'll cover there. It is a struggle for Seattle as well. And again, you put these 2 quarterbacks together, and they have barely over 300 yards total passing. It is so bad this weekend for passing quarterbacks, passing in general. Next game is Dallas Cowboys versus Cleveland Browns. Dallas Cowboys won 33-17. Dak Prescott, freshly off his new big contract, he comes out and throws 179 yards, one touchdown. Once again, pretty low numbers for, you know, yard-wise for quarterback. Zeke Elliott led the team in rushing, 10 rushes, 40 yards, and he did score. That's right. Zeke Elliott, keep feeding the beast. He also split time with Rico Dowdle with 8 carries, 26 yards. For receiving, once again, CeeDee Lamb, fresh off his contract, 5 catches, 61 yards. He keeps on doing it. He's got 10 targets during that game, but only held in 5 catches. It might be something to do with, you know, him and Dak weren't on the same page because he was holding out all camp and everything like that. It could be the same thing as like Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow. Also in this receiving, you got Brandon Cooks, 4 catches, 40 yards, and a touchdown. And we'll talk about Jake Ferguson later, but 3 catches or 15 yards. He ended up leaving this game with an injury. I do believe it was a MCL sprain, so he'll be out for a few weeks. So we'll look and give you some recommendations on that injury. The Browns, Watson, still garbage. Go to Jameson Williams. 24 for 45, 169 yards, and 1 touchdown, 2 interceptions. He had 39 yards rushing, but he just does not look good at all. Jerome Ford, this is his backfield, 12 for right now, 12 rushes, 44 yards and a touchdown. I don't see him slowing down until maybe Nick Chubb comes back. Receiving-wise, David Njoku did get injured as well. 4 catches, 44 yards. Jerry Jeudy, 3 catches, 25 yards, and 1 touchdown. Jerome Ford, he killed it in receptions, 6 catches, but only 25 yards. Amari Cooper struggled again, but 9 targets, way to go, only catching 2 of them for 11 or for 16. I think that's a product of Deshaun Watson just sucking. The last game Sunday, in the afternoon slate, Tampa Bay Buccaneers versus Washington Commanders. Tampa Bay won 37-20. Welcome to the league, Jaden Daniels. 184 yards passing, but like I said before, rushing quarterbacks is what's going to win championships and win fantasy leagues. 88 yards, 2 touchdowns. That's 20.8 points right there. And then you just add on the, you know, passing yards on top of it. So I think he's going to be good for fantasy. He's going to probably grow. It's growing pains for first NFL start for, you know, rookie quarterbacks. Brian Robinson, 40 yards and a touchdown. He completely killed Eckler in the rush attempts, but Eckler had 4 targets, same with Brian Robinson. So this might be more of a 60-40, 75-25, or 70-30 running back. I think this is Brian Robinson's running back, you know, his place, his house. Austin Eckler had the 2 carries, 10 yards, 4 catches, 52 yards. Robinson had 3 catches, 49 yards. For their pass catchers, Zach Ertz, 3 catches, 28 yards. Luke McCaffrey, 3 catches, 18. And Terry McLaurin, what the hell? 2 catches, 17 yards. It was not a good performance for him. With that, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is red hot fire. Baker Mayfield, he must have woke up feeling dangerous. 24 for 30, 289 yards, 4 touchdowns. That's right, 1, 2, 3, 4. He had 4 passing touchdowns on the game. Bucking Irving actually led for yards for rushing, but I think this was also a product of beating up by so much. He had 9 rushes, 62 yards, where Rashad White had 15 rushes, 31 yards. In the receiving game, Chris Godwin playing that slot now. He's going to keep on getting his targets, going to keep getting his yards. This is where he's best off. 8 catches, 83 yards, and a touchdown. Rashid White, I mean, if he can't do it in the rushing, he's going to do it in the receiving. 6 catches, 75 yards. Mike Evans, he's on his way to another 1,000 yards. 5 catches, 61 yards, 2 touchdowns. And Jalen McMillan, 1 catch, 32 yards, and a touchdown. Congratulations, rookie. That was a good game by Baker, though. The thing I seen earlier today was, you know, saying Baker Mayfield, after he left Cleveland Browns because he looked so bad, apparently, and they wanted to get, you know, Watson, and Watson has looked terrible in all aspects because he's only played a handful of games before he got injured. But, you know, Baker's been killing it ever since he left there, and maybe his blessing in disguise for him is, you know, get the hell out of there. The final game, and one of the games I was looking forward to, is the LA Rams versus Detroit Sunday Night Football. This one had to go extra and go into overtime. Detroit ended up winning 26-20. Matthew Stafford, on his way back returning to Detroit, he threw 317 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. I thought he was going to be, you know, I thought he was going to win the game for him, making a couple of these no-look passes if you watched it. Again, Kyren Williams, he did get 18 rushes, 50 yards, 1 touchdown. I thought Blake Corum would start coming back or coming into the picture at the end of the season, but he didn't even touch a ball today in this game. Cooper Kupp, back to his old self, 14 catches, 110 yards, 1 touchdown, 21 targets. And it's going to probably be around there because Puka Nacua re-aggravated his knee, the same knee that he hurt during training camp. So they actually already placed him on the IR, so he's missing at least the next 4 games. He only had 4 catches, 35 yards. But these next couple guys I'm going to talk about is going to be on the waiver ad or lookup. Tyler Johnson, 5 catches, 79 yards. Or DeMarcus Robinson, 4 catches, 42 yards. Another guy that I'm going to tell you, Kobe Parkinson, 4 catches, 47 yards. He's probably another guy I would be targeting now with Puka out. Kyren Williams, 3 catches, 4 yards. Jared Goff, he threw 217 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. And we added for rushing David Montgomery, 91 yards, 1 touchdown. And Jahmyr Gibbs, 40 yards, 1 touchdown. This is more of a split backfield. Rushing, I think it's going to go still to Montgomery for a while. And then Jahmyr Gibbs will be the pass-catching back in this team. But for receiving, Jameson Williams, I feel like he's going to break out this year. 121 catches or 121 yards on 5 catches and a touchdown. He looked electric, really fast. Jared Goff has got to throw the deep ball ahead of him, not behind him. Jameson Williams is getting designed plays to him. I mean, he had an end around. He had, you know, a bunch of his hot read targets. He could be on his way to a breakout season. Sam Laporta, 4 catches, 45 yards, same thing. You know, that's only 8.5. You want more for these guys where you passed on a Cooper Kupp probably in the same round, you know, and look at Cooper, killed it. So, like I said, drafting those tight ends early costs a lot of players, fantasy players. Jahmyr Gibbs, 4 catches, 34 yards. And, that Amon-Ra St. Brown, 3 catches, 13 yards. And I don't understand where he fell off and why he fell off. It's going to be interesting seeing and looking and over all, hopefully going forward, this was just a dud game and it's not, you know, them trying to get Jameson Williams more involved or anything like that, because St. Brown's been one of the best receivers in the league. Hopefully he continues to keep on going. And I kept on pushing for you guys to draft him in the first round. So if you lost in the first week because of him, I'm sorry, but stay with it. Trust the process, you know, just stay with it. That was all the Sunday games. Now for Monday night football, the San Francisco 49ers took on New York Jets, beating them 32-19 on Monday night football. Aaron Rodgers played more than four or five snaps. He was unproductive in his first time playing in over a year. Aaron Rodgers did throw 167 yards, one touchdown, one interception. Not going to cut it again. He didn't play well. I know there's a couple drop passes by his receivers, but he's got to do better with how he performed today. Breece Hall couldn't get anything going on the ground. He had 54 yards and a touchdown. He also had one of his first few carries. He fumbled the ball, lost it. He also had five catches, 39 yards, which helps a lot for PPR leagues. For receiving purposes, Alan Lazard, six catches, 89 yards, and two touchdowns. Did not see that one coming. I thought Garrett Wilson would be a lot more productive than he was. He had six catches, 60 yards. That's pretty much it. There's Tyler Conklin for tight end purpose, one catch, 6 yards. As for the 49ers, Brock Purdy, he's pretty steady. No touchdowns, 231 yards passing. And before Monday night started, Christian McCaffrey was ruled out of the game. So Jordan Mason got his first start. He ran 28 times, 147 yards, one touchdown. I mean, this was impressive performance for him. The offense line really got after it and killed Jets defensive line. I believe that's more times he ran it than he ever did in college. So it goes back to his high school days. Also for rushing, Deebo Samuel had eight rushes, 23 yards, one touchdown. For receiving, Juwan Jennings, five catches, 64 yards. Deebo Samuel, five catches, 54 yards. George Kittle, four catches, 40 yards. Brandon Ayuk, two catches, 28 yards. That's why you got to get back in camp, as Peyton Manning said. Get your deals done early. That's why you need to get training camp. With this game, 49ers just played really well. Right away from the get-go, they were high-strung and it is hard to stop a good team like they are. Talking about moving on to injuries, during this week one, the biggest couple, Jordan Love sprained MCL, supposed to be missing 3 to 6 weeks. He's not going on IR, as Matt LaFleur says he's not. So it does save him from missing at least four games, but who's to say, he might be roughly about 3 to 6 weeks is projected. Chicago Bears' Rome Odunze, another sprained MCL, but he's labeled week to week. I assume that he's going to miss probably 2, maybe 3 weeks as well, depending on the grade of the sprain is really how it comes down to it. Also, Dallas Cowboys tight end Jake Ferguson, another MCL sprain and bone bruise. He's labeled week to week. Same thing, he's probably going to miss 2 weeks, in my opinion. It's why risk it so early in the season for these guys to make more damage and then miss the whole season. So watch for those guys. Cleveland Browns tight end David Njoku feared to suffer a high ankle sprain. He's labeled week to week now. For Minnesota Vikings, Jordan Addison re-injured his ankle that he injured during training camp, not thought to be serious once again. Hopeful to play week two. Seattle Seahawks, Kenneth Walker. He left the game late in the fourth quarter with an abdominal pain. He told reporters that he was good after the game. That's another guy to watch out for. But the biggest injury for the week one is Los Angeles Rams wide receiver Puka Nacua hurt his knee again. He has a sprained PCL, and per coach, he's going to be put on the IR, so he is going to be missing at least a minimum of four games once he hits the IR. It's a tragic for a young receiver, especially last year when he killed it with receptions and targets. It's just unfortunate for a guy like him. Some waiver targets to target, in my opinion, quarterback Baker Mayfield is my number one target. He killed it this past week. He's owned it in sleeper. These are based on sleeper own percentages. 41% he's owned in sleeper. My number two is Matthew Stafford. He's 60%. And Derek Carr is 14%. Those are my top three quarterbacks for waiver targets. Running back targets, J.K. Dobbins is my number one. I usually try to do 60% or lower. He is right at that threshold of 58%. He killed it, and he's probably going to start soon. He had pretty much 50-50 carries with Gus Edwards, but I think he's going to start taking over. My number two is Jordan Mason. He's 56% owned, but I think a lot of that went up this past couple day or last day because Christian McCaffrey was injured and not starting. So I think those projections went up, but 147 and a touchdown, can't beat it. Zach Charbonnet, just for a handcuff purposes, he's 55%, just in case if Walker is going to miss time or not. He's not a bad guy to have. Number four is Jaleel McLaughlin for Denver. He had more rush attempts than Javonte Williams. He's owned 45%. And my last guy I'll mention is Alexander Mattison. He is 10%. He's more involved in the passing game, so in PPR formats, I highly suggest him as well. He scored 16 points roughly on PPR leagues. Another one I'll just throw out there is Tank Bigsby, but I think that is more custom to the game flow and game plan, and I don't think he's going to take all the credit or all the shares from ETN, but it could be a good handcuff as well. For wide receiver targets, my number one is DeMarcus Robinson. With Puka Nacua out, he's the next man up. I know Tyler Johnson really did well when he was gone. Tyler Johnson, he had, I think, 7 catches, 73 yards, but one of them came on a 63-yard play. DeMarcus Robinson played well toward the end of last season. With Puka Nacua being out, he's my most high-rated wide receiver targets. He's owned 12% in sleeper leagues. My number two is Greg Dortch. Until I see otherwise and Greg Dortch is getting less than 5 targets a game, I'm not going to shy away from him. He's keeps on producing when Kyler Murray is on the field. He's owned 11%. Jacoby Myers, 59%. He's been getting it done. He keeps on getting a lot of targets. Rashid Shaheed, another one, 44% he's owned. He keeps on getting it done. Long touchdowns. I know Chris Olave with his production was not great at all, so that might be an issue going forward. And Wandell Robinson, 19%. But when he gets 12 targets a game, that's me encouraging you to go out and get him to stash. If, you know, the Giants are going to be pretty much down in every single game, that means they're going to keep throwing. I believe Daniel Jones had, 40-some targets or pass attempts. So that's another reason why to target him. My top three tight end waiver ones adds is Isaiah Likely is still my number one. I know Mark Andrews did not do well at all. He's 31% owned. But with him playing and him running the routes and him getting targeted a lot more than what Mark Andrews was, I can't shy away from that. My number two is Colby Parkinson for the Rams. Once again, he's a really good, productive tight end, and Tyler Higbee's already on IR. He's not going to be coming back anytime soon. And now with Puka Nacua, they're probably going to have something short, little dump and dink and dunks. He's 10% owned, and he will be a good substitute if you need one or not. Good stash as well. My last player I'm going to mention is Foster Monroe. Once again, New Orleans, but I mean, he's 0% owned. He showed me that he is now football and healthy, and it looked like he is over Juwan Johnson and Taysom Hill. He's kind of, to me, is fading out in the offense. I mean, he's still going to be part of it, but I really like Foster Monroe. That is week one of the season. Please be sure to like, follow, and subscribe. And I'll see you guys later. Also, don't be afraid to email me if you have any questions at fantasyendzonepodcast@gmail.com. And I'll see you guys later. Peace.